Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the second Sunday of Advent, 2009.
A reading from the prophet Baruch. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever, wrapped in the cloak of justice from God. Bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever, the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights. Look to the east and see your children, gathered from the east and the west, at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you, but God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel might advance secure in the glory of God. The forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command. For God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with rejoicing.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed."
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy.
Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves.
The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you, because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness. How I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was the tetrarch of Albion, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone. And, actually, Father Brian, ahead. I thought you just said, "I'm Bob Brian." And I'm like, "Bob Brian? What's going on here?"
Oh, no, I'm definitely not Bob Brian. I'm, okay, I'm Father good. Brian. Okay, my dad good. Is Bob.
Oh, well, but not Bob Brian. Bob Brian.
That's right. I'm not Brian, claiming to be my father. But we are here today to discuss these readings with or without Bob.
Wonderful. Yes. So did anything strike you this week as you read through them?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that struck me, actually, Dawn. One of the big things that's really been hitting me more with the whole season in general is trying to remember that this Advent season, even though it's a season of waiting, it's also a season of joy. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's really been striking me for some reason this whole Advent, you know, all however many days we've been in it so far. But I think that that's something that is easily lost sight of because we do so many things that tend to be like penitential or mm-hmm. ascetical or something like that during Advent, that we forget that it's a joyful season, that it's not a dreary waiting and hope. And the other thing is a lot of times we contrast it with the secular, you know, what's going on in right. our secular society. And sometimes we have a tendency to rebel against what's going on in our secular society. So, you know, you've got the whole commercialization of Christmas. I'm not saying that's a good thing or anything, but I think there is a general good thing in all of that, in that there is a lot of joy. I mean, you hear all the Christmas songs and things, and generally speaking, a lot of people tend to be in good spirits mm-hmm. and wishing, you know, you Merry Christmas and that kind of thing. And I think that that's kind of the joyful waiting that we're supposed to be entering into this Advent, is one where we enter it with joy. So I think that's got to be the overarching view that I want to look at these readings with, is remembering that it is a joyful preparation. It's often compared to, rightfully so, the preparation of for the birth of a new child. You know, parents are certainly joyous as they're expecting the birth of their right. son or daughter, and they're usually in good spirits and everything. At the same time, there's work to be done, and some of the work is kind of dreary. Some of it's kind of painful at times. I'm told, and I don't have the experience, and I'm very thankful for this, that going through the whole childbirth process is painful. But but there's a joyful expectation as you go through that, too, I'm sure, for any mother.
Right.
So.
You know, I was thinking about when you were talking about preparing and being joyful, that one of my favorite things at weekend liturgies, the weekends that we have up the Giving Tree, I think probably most parishes have some sort of version of this where you take a tag and you buy a gift for somebody that doesn't have one. But one of my favorite things to do is on those weekends is to sort of stand to the side, and it never fails at each liturgy, a mother or father comes up with their small children and explains why they're doing this, and that it's a really good thing, and this is what we're supposed to do, and the kids are excited and the parents are excited. It's not another task that we have to do during Advent. It's this is what we get to do. It's part of our preparing, and it just reminded me of that as you were talking.
Yeah, and we see this same joy in the readings today.
Right.
We see it in the first reading. You've got this. I mean, you actually hear the word joy at the very end, but mm-hmm. there's this line: "Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights, look to the east and see your children gathered from the east." But this whole thing here, it's an up, you know, stand up, be joyful here. And then at the end of the reading, of course, we have that, "For God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company." A lot of times, you know, we say these things where we talk about joy, and if you listen to the way we're saying it, it's like, stand up and joy. you're missing it. You're missing it. This right. is supposed to be exciting. Yeah. We should be joyous about this. And then in the psalm, of course, we've got the refrain here. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. We should be rejoicing in these great things that the Lord has done for us. And then, of course, we come to the gospel. And you get, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths, all this kind of stuff. And you sit here and say, well, where's the joy mm-hmm. in all of this? You know, it seems to be the work. And certainly, again, I said, it's balancing that. You got to remember, it is joyful. And we should be doing the work joyfully, in the same way that it's a lot of work to prepare a nursery, to mm-hmm. paint the room, to clean out what was the den and turn it into, you know, the room and move all the furniture around, get all the stuff ready, the crib all set, put it together, all that kind of stuff. That's a lot of work. But usually it's a joyous work. Well, that's what preparing the way of the Lord for us should be, is preparing, you know, a place for Christ in our lives. But it should be a joyous work that we're doing. It should be something that we do in celebration. And right, it shouldn't be something that we do kind of, oh, one more thing I have to do. So that I think is really the overarching thing here and how we should approach these readings. And then at the end of the gospel reading, there's a great line there, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I mean, if that's not something to rejoice in, I don't know what is. You know? Everybody shall see the salvation of God. You know, if you say that and then say whoop-de-doo afterwards, yeah, something's wrong. You have to say, wow, that's really some powerful stuff that we are seeing the salvation prepared for us in Christ Jesus and how powerful that is for us.
And that can also be challenging to us, too, because if we're saying all flesh, it's not just the church in Rochester or just the Catholics in the U.S. or just the Christians in the world. It's all flesh. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to think about, do I really believe or can I really accept that all flesh, no matter where in the world you live, whether or not, you know, we've had challenges with another country or religion, but can we embrace that and can we believe that and can we welcome others in?
Right, certainly. And that is, you're right, the challenge is that for us who are Christians and for us who are Catholics, we know that, you know, we're following Christ and he is the way, the truth, and life. He's the only way to salvation. But we also know that he didn't come just for us.
Right.
He didn't come as a divisive force, but to gather all the nations together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, around the nation of Israel and everything. So that's an important thing, I think, that you mentioned there, is that there is this sense in which we have to remember that Jesus isn't our Jesus. You know, he's everybody's Jesus, so to speak. He's everybody's salvation. He's not just my salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, I mean, and you talked about it, you know, interreligiously, internationally, you know, even within the country, I say, you know, sometimes even within our own parish, within our own families, we have these things.
Right, I forgot about that.
you can go even, you know, a lot more microcosm, but, you know, that there's this issue of how is it that we can understand Christ to be the salvation for everyone, because that's what he is. Now, certainly this might mean that there are times when we have to correct people. There are times when, you know, we do have legitimate differences and we don't just wash them over, but we do need to remember in all of that, that Christ came for all people and that we can't say that therefore somebody is excluded mm-hmm. from the grace of Christ.
Right. You know, one thing I would just like to not miss in today's readings is the fact that this, in the gospel reading today, John is in the desert and that's where he hears the voice of God and starts proclaiming. And in the world, as we are preparing for Christmas, not necessarily Advent, we get so caught up, and you talked a little bit about this, but it's just the challenge that to find the desert in your life every morning, every part of the day, a part of the day, so that you can hear the voice of God, because we fill everything, every second up with some sort of sound or noise, or it's, for me anyhow, it's a real challenge to just be quiet and enter that desert place.
Right. And that's part of the preparation process is mm-hmm. that time that spending a few minutes, you know, even if it's just a few minutes every day in that silence,
right.
listening for the word of God when you're not where all the distractions are, but to be in that place where I can be quiet, I can listen, say, what is God saying to me? How am I going about preparing his way? How am I working to make every mountain and hill low and the winding roads straight. And that whole theme of the desert is one that I've talked about in years past. One of the things with this reading is where does that quote belong, the quotation mark? Because in the original text, they didn't have punctuation. So the question is it the voice of one crying, or the voice of one crying out, quote, in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord? Or is it the voice of one crying out in the desert, quote, prepare the way of the Lord? Either way, the point is we have to prepare the way of the Lord. But that whole theme of being in the desert is really central really to all of our Christian spirituality. You find it in the works of the fathers. You find it in scripture, of course, right here. But that theme of I need to at some point pull myself out of the world for a retreat, for, you know, if it's a 5-minute period of prayer or something like that, so that I can properly make sure my focus is straight, my roads are straight, and then go back into the world. Of course, it doesn't say stay in the desert. that's the other important thing we have to remember with deserts, right? Is with all of our spirituality, none of them ever say stay in the desert.
Right.
They say go into the desert, but you have to come out of the desert too when you go into that desert.
Good point.
Yeah. And I think that on that note, Dawn, we're coming towards the end of our podcast. Hopefully people are filled with joy as they're entering
that we're
into,
ending this podcast. They're filled with joy.
They're filled with joy that they don't have to hear us anymore. No. So thank goodness that's over. No, that they're filled with joy because of the Advent season as they're preparing both for the coming of Christ in the incarnation and the Christmas story, the memorializing, but also for that second coming of Christ, where we're preparing our own ways for when he does appear so that he will recognize us, that we will be on the straight path, and that we can be with him in that future life to come where there is no more death, no more sin, all that good stuff. And hopefully people will spend some time in the desert this week, but come out of the desert and join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.